Thank you for allowing an old father to speak to you today. You know, it's either, this is maybe the third or fourth time I speak in this church. There is either something wrong with you or something good about me. I don't know. But, I'm really thrilled, and I'm thankful to be with you, especially on this blessed day. Do you understand my English, or should I start in Arabic? English is okay. All right, so when I started here coming to the United States and sometimes invited to churches to speak, and my English was really, really bad. It wasn't as good as it is today. And one time, it was Christmas time, and they asked me to preach. And I preached about the Magi who brought gifts to Jesus. And in my preaching, I was saying they brought to Jesus, gold and myrrh and Frankenstein. Well, everybody was laughing like you are now, and I could not understand why they are laughing. But then later on they told me. So, if I see you laughing today, I'm just going to wonder, what mistake did I make? Yeah. But today I want to talk about this theme, Notes to Self. I'm thankful that Christy, my daughter, and Stan, her husband, is here, of course, with Brenda. And it's good. What Christy said about me, I agree with her fully. Yeah. But, I never knew my father. My father was shot by a sniper in the first Arab-Israeli war in 1948. And my father was killed when I was 2 years old, leaving my mother with seven children. So, I knew more about my father when I grew up, but I don't remember him as a young child. But it's wonderful to be your fathers with you, those who testified and shared about your dads. Okay, so where did I get this title, Notes to Self? I got it from Christy, my daughter. She wrote a book, and the title of the book was Notes to Self. I'm not going to tell you what she wrote in her book. This is absolutely different, But I want to talk about people who speak to themselves, people who have conversation with themselves. So, are you ready? Fasten yourself. Seat belts. We are flying. Okay, next. In the book of Ecclesiastes, quite often we read the phrase, I said to myself. And here, the wise man in the book of Ecclesiastes, he's not talking to people, he's not talking to God, he's not talking to his wife or children, he is really addressing himself. He is talking to himself when he said, I said to myself. And that's repeated in the book of Ecclesiastes several times. So from time to time, it's good for us just to talk to ourselves. I know when we were younger, all of us, and we saw a person walking down the street, and he or she is talking to themselves, we thought there is something wrong with them. But today, with the smartphones and people putting things in their ears, now it is normal to see people walking down the streets and, talking to themselves. It's very normal today. But a long time ago, it was not kosher to do that. Jeremiah was a man of God who lived about many years ago, perhaps 600 years before Christ. And Jeremiah, quite often, he spoke with God. Sometimes he spoke to people. and with people. But from time to time, you catch this man of God speaking to himself. One example will be Jeremiah 4:19. I'm not going to focus on people in the Old Testament who spoke to themselves. What I would like to go to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, because as I was reading in the book of Luke, I noticed that Jesus uses three parables, and in the three parables, he talks about three people who spoke to him to themselves. One of them is called what we call the prodigal son. You remember the story of the prodigal son? If you read that story, you notice that at one time in the story, he's talking to himself. And there is another one we call the rich fool, and another one we call the shrewd manager. All of them in the book of Luke, and all of them were caught talking to themselves. So I'm going to take each one of them and see what they are saying to themselves, try to analyze what they said to themselves, and then see what we today can learn from these people talking to themselves. Here is the prodigal son. Notice what he said to himself. I'm not going to tell you the story because you already know the story. All right? But here's what Jesus said about him. When he came to his senses, he said, now he's talking to himself, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Notice, he was talking to himself. And that's important for us to focus on this morning. So let's analyze this, him talking to himself. Next. All right, this is good. What he was saying to himself, I'm starving when my father's servants have plenty of food to eat. I am filthy as I continue to mingle with pigs. And remember, he's Jewish. Can you imagine a Jewish person mingling with pigs? And then he said, I'm lonely as my friends abandon me. And of course, finally, I'm very guilty. I have sinned. So this is the stage where, as he talked to himself, he's really analyzing his situation. Now, the next stage is this. I call it determination or decision making. And in his decision making, he is saying, I will rise, or I shall rise. I will go home. I will say to my father, I will confess, I will repent. That's the second stage. The third stage, we know it from the story, not from his words, but from the story. And here is the third stage. I call it action. Action. He got up and he went to his father. The son declared, and now he's talking to his father, not to himself, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So notice there are three stages. One is self-analysis, self-examination. One is making a decision. And then one is taking action. And I hope from time to time, we also will maybe look at the mirror, talk to ourselves, and say, this is where I am today. This is what I'm going to do. And then go ahead and do it. Just do what we decide we are going to do. So self-examination is very important in a personal way, but also self-examination is good for us as a church. You know, we as a church, we need to know, where are we going? What are we doing? Are we having any influence on the society? We know from statistics that the church is dying in the United States. We know that there is something wrong in the church. I'm not going to dwell on this. I'm not going to analyze it today. But definitely there is something wrong in the church in the United States. And you can almost look at almost any congregation, and you see that the people in the congregation, most of them are 60 years and above. You notice when we have the children's church, we have only two kids. I'm sure you can remember the time when the number of kids were almost as many as the number of people attending the church. Where are the kids? Where are the young people? Where are the young families? There is something wrong. So we need as a church to analyze our situation and then ask God, where can we go from here? We need also as a nation, you know, the United States of America, our country that we love so much. You know, I am an immigrant to this country. When I came to the United States, I have so much hope, so much faith in the United States of America. You know, I was willing to renounce everything in the past, my Palestinian identity and everything, in order to become an American citizen. I was so proud of America and the values of this country. Today, you know, I feel different. Not because I changed so much, but because America changed so much. All the wars that we are doing in other countries, all the hundreds and thousands of people that we are killing in other lands in the name of democracy, and sometimes in the name of Christ, we are killing other people, and we call ourselves a holy nation. We need to examine ourselves, even as a country, and ask ourselves if we are doing the right thing or if we are not doing the right thing. So, in other words, we need to repent. And here is the question. Who needs to repent? I would say first, I need to repent. I'm human. I am carnal. I'm sinful. I need to repent. And then I hope in your mind you are saying, me too. I need to repent. And nationwide, I hope we can say the whole nation and the whole church need to repent. In the book of Lamentations, there's a beautiful verse. And it says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. And I hope if I don't say anything else today, you just keep this verse in your mind. Let me examine myself, examine ourselves, examine our ways, and let us return to the Lord. It is so important for us to examine ourselves and go back to God. Now, you remember the prodigal son. He went back to his father, and his father accepted him, and they, killed the fatted calf. They had a wonderful meal. They have dancing. They have singing. They have really a wonderful party. And then, I want you to imagine here, because this is not biblical. This is only me. All right, you can reject it if you want. Here's the question. Okay, he went to sleep that night in a clean bed, not with the pigs. And then he woke up the next morning, not on the sound of pigs and the smell of pigs. He woke up smelling Arabian coffee and maybe the smell of fresh hummus, or maybe leftovers from the meal from last day. And he woke up really happy. It's a new day, all right? Very, very happy. It's a new day. Now he is, putting his new garments on, and he's about to go and meet with his father. And here is the question for you. What would he say to his father on the day after? What would he say to his father the day after? I'm not going to say it because I want to hear it sung. Go ahead. you imagine the prodigal son getting up the next morning, putting his hand into heaven and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. He did not stop there. He kept going. Please. His father, he decided to praise God with another song. Here it is. So beautiful, you know, it's wonderful. Okay, now, what do we learn from all of this? What do we learn from all of this? And this is a lesson that I hope that we can take with us today. You and I have been blessed so much, we live in the morning after. We live in the morning after. What do I mean? We live in the morning after our redemption. We are redeemed. We live the morning after our resurrection. We are risen with Jesus Christ to a new life. We live after our reconciliation. We are reconciled with God through faith in Jesus Christ. We live after the morning we call the day of Pentecost, because now the Spirit of God dwells in us. So we live today in the morning after. That's why we can sing those wonderful songs of the redeemed. Now, what it means you are living in the day after is that you can really, every day, you know, like one song says, I'm rejoicing every day, you know, for the Master have, you know, done great things to me. I cannot remember exactly the same words, but every day is a beautiful day in your life and in my life, because everything that God has done for us. Do you believe in that? Yeah, it's okay to say amen. That will encourage me. Is it okay? Yes. All right. We live on the day after, you know, and you can every morning praise God because you are living in the day after the day of your salvation. Now I go to the second person, because we have three people to talk about. Here is the second person. The Bible calls him the rich fool, all right? Of course, none of you is like him, because he's rich, he's fool. You may be rich, but you may not be fool. All right, so let's talk about this man we call the rich fool. Okay, here's what he said to himself. You know, we are talking about talking to oneself. He said, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain, and I will say to myself, he must have been an American. He must have been, you know, a rich American. You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. This is what we call the American dream. Live the American dream all the way to the end. All right? So let's analyze this guy. He starts with an inventory. And then determination. You know, he said to himself, my harvest is going to be great. My barns are too small for crops. Unlike the prodigal son was sick, was telling how miserable he was. This man, he was saying how rich and how happy he was. So you can see the difference between him and the prodigal son. The next, please. We'll continue with the inventory. He told himself what to do. This is the action part. I will tear down the old barns. I will construct new and larger ones. And I will fill the barns with a new harvest. Quite often, we are the same. Okay? And then he decided to take action. Then I will say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Now, God called him fool. And why would God call him fool? But God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get that you have prepared for? This is how it is, Jesus said. It will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. My question to you, and you can answer me. Feel free to talk. Why would God call him a fool? Why would he be labeled a fool? He missed the point. Something else. All right, he's trusting in his own works or his own wealth, correct? Why else would God call him a fool?
Selfish.
He was very selfish.
His priority was his own wealth.
His priority was his own wealth. Very good. Very good. Very good. Anyone else?
He was going to die.
What?
He was going to
die. He's going to die anyway. All right. So here is what I wrote. Thank you for your contributions. But here's what I wrote. God was not on his radar. He did not recognize God's goodness. He did not give thanks to God. In his world, only one person was important, himself. He had no plans to share with others. He was infected with a common human disease called greed. Greed. He wants things for himself. And next will be, let's talk a little bit about greed. Greed is a human disease. You know, Russia invading Ukraine, it's really great because they wanted the resources that that country, the rich country Ukraine has. Israel in 1948 took 78% of Palestine, and now they are after 22%, which is the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. That I call greed. Then we have in this country a lot of corporate greed, medical and pharmaceutical greed. You can buy a medicine here for $40, $50. You go to Mexico or to Canada and it will only cost about $5. There is so much corruption, so much greed in this country and also around the world. Insurance companies, I'm terrified when I think about the greed of the insurance companies. Next. Okay, Jesus warned us against greed. And he gives us, I mean, we have in the New Testament three remedies for greed. One of them is to trust God. Another thing is contentment, be satisfied with what we have. And then the last one is generosity. Be kind and give. Jesus said, take care, protect yourselves against the least bit of greed. That's Jesus saying this, not me. Listen to him. Life is not divine, but what you have, even when you have a lot. And I would say also, you can say, life is not defined by what you have, even if you have very little. No matter what you have, a lot or little, your life is not defined by the accumulation of things you have in your home or your bank account in the bank. But how many times we think, oh, I'm really happy. I have a healthy bank account. I have, two cars. I have all the furniture I need. My closets are full of clothes. I have a lot of food in my pantry. I need nothing. Well, praise God. Praise God. As long as you seek God first. We go to the third character, and the Bible calls him, or we call him, the shrewd manager. And he is the guy who reflects on the future. You know, the prodigal son reflected on his past. The rich fool reflects on his present situation. But this guy here is reflecting on his past. And this is what he said to himself. Listen to this carefully. What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I am not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I will do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So this guy was really worried about his future more than anything else. Jesus said about him, this is the conclusion of the story. Jesus said in the conclusion of the story, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself so that when it is gone, this means when your life is gone, or when your wealth is gone, or when your health is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. So what... Let's analyze this a little bit. The man's masters praised him not because he cheated, but rather because he planned well for his future. He planned well for his future. What is Jesus trying to teach us from this parable and this man talking to himself? I think Jesus was trying to teach us invest in eternity. Invest in eternity. Invest in the life to come. You know, we have all kinds of investments in this life, but we need to learn how to invest in eternity. A basic teaching of the New Testament is the concept of life after death. You know, the body dies, the Bible teaches us, but the spirit goes to be in heaven with God forever and ever. That is much more important than everything on earth. And that's why the Bible advises us to invest in the eternal. Jesus promised that what we do on earth will have an eternal impact. Jesus even said to his disciples, even if you give a cup of cold water to a person, it will be rewarded in heaven. So whatever we do, whether it is in church or in society, God will reward us for everything we do on this planet Earth. And whether it is right here in Eugene or whether it is all over the world. And then, here's a verse from the book of Hebrews. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and love you have shown him as you helped his people and continue to help them. Can we read this verse together? Because I really want it to sink in our minds. Okay? God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him and helped his people and continue to help them. God is not unjust. This is a double negative that makes a very strong positive. All right. God is not unjust. This means God will reward you for everything that you ever do. Any act of kindness, God will reward you for it. The other day, my family and I saw a sign says estate sale, estate sale. And we went to see, you know, we are curious. We went to see the estate sale. And my, I was surprised. I'm always curious with estate sales. I want to know who lived here and what happened to them. So I asked. Oh, they were elderly people. They reached about 1995. They died. And now they left everything that you see around. There were literally thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of items, you know, furniture, clothes, sport equipment. Just think about it. They have it. And, you know, even on Sunday when everything is half price, there are still hundreds of thousands of things there. And I thought these people probably never had a garage sale before. Never given away anything. They kept it hoarding and collecting, but never gave out anything. I hope none of us are like this. I hope that you can balance your investments. Invest in things that are eternal. Yes, invest in the eternal. Where do you invest? You know, some people invest in companies. You know, I'm not trying to say it's wrong for you to invest. No. Invest. Be happy. Be rich. Multiply your income. However, don't forget about investing in the kingdom of God. Balance your investments where you invest in your life, in your happiness, in your comfort, in your health, but also invest in the things of God. And for this we sing. Singers and musicians. And my final slide is this, just a summary. You know, the story of the prodigal son focuses on the past. How do we deal with the past? We repent of our sins. We go to God. We ask forgiveness. We receive his forgiveness. The story of the rich fool has to do with the present. How to deal with the present? We become generous, we give, we praise God, we thank God for all his blessings. And then we, in the last one, the rich guy, or the wicked, sometimes we call him wicked steward, what we learn from him? Investing in the things that are eternal, thinking of eternity. God put eternity in our hearts, but we also need to invest in eternity. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the parables that he gave us in the book of Luke. And we thank you for these three people and their the lessons we learned from their lives. Help us as we listen that the Holy Spirit will plant your word in our hearts and minds, that we will do exactly what you wish for us to do. In Christ's name, amen.